Okay, question seven. Now that we've talked about the millennium, 1,000 years reigning with Christ on the earth, the story doesn't end there. What happens after the millennium? Because Satan gets released from a prison.
Right.
There's an eternal age. What happens after the millennium?
Yeah, so the narrative, I mean, of Revelation really, you know, 19 through 22, it kind of lays this out. And it's specific that you have, obviously, the Antichrist destroyed his armies, followed by this 1,000-year reign that happens on the earth over the nations, the mortal survivors that are still on the earth, where the resurrected saints are given authority with Christ on the earth. And then it says at the end of the 1,000 years, it says that because Satan had been shut up in what's called the abyss, or some translations, the bottomless pit.
That's different than the lake of fire.
It's different than the lake of fire, exactly. He's going there. That's his final destination. But it's like a prison that's holding him and the demons. Isaiah 24 says you and the demons are being held up in the prison for, you know, that 1,000 years. And then they're given a short time to be released on the earth. And they begin to deceive a remnant of the nations again. And it says as the sands of the sea, but that doesn't mean the majority of it. Just means a very, very large number of people will be deceived again. And specifically deceived is talking about those mortal inhabitants that were on the earth in the millennium. It's not talking about the glorified resurrected saint who was a part of the rapture of the resurrection. It was talking about those that are actually that we're going to be given authority over. They're still, you know, going through natural processes like, marrying and having babies and, you know, doing all this.
That's going to be all part of the age to come, is people in natural bodies.
Yes.
Doing life.
But there's some unique features of that age. You know, the Romans 8 says the curse that was on the earth has been lifted. And so you have, obviously, going back to pain-free childbearing, you have the ground is now producing at an optimal level.
Incredible harvest.
Right. People begin to live extremely long again.
Mm.
Just like,
pre-flood.
Yeah, pre-flood, where people were living 500, 600, 700, 800 years long during that time, because you had the curse, but the effects of the curse began to actually implement over time.
Mm.
And the same way, the healing of the earth is going to be the same way, and the healing is going to be progressive. People are going to begin to live longer. And Isaiah 65 actually plays this out, and it says that if a person dies at 100 years old, he'll have been thought a little child. Yeah, he thought a curse and a little child. What happened? He was only 100, you know?
The child who dies at 100.
Yeah. And it talks about this whole time period that takes place on the earth. And so that happens. And then those survivors on the earth, it says that Satan is actually given an opportunity to actually, again, present basically the knowledge of good and evil again to these people.
Wow.
And
it's almost like a Garden of Eden reboot.
And there's an element of this where God he's only for those that are going to be worthy of the ages to come, or those that have overcome and those that would say yes. And there's the picture of humanity that he's actually given opportunity of people that have been born during this time period that have sat under the leadership of Jesus in an Eden-like state, but they've never been tested. They've never had to actually prove love. And God's going to give an opportunity to these people to actually have that opportunity. And there's an element of it, I think, that takes away this complaint that's in the heart of humanity that's always been there, that I would have served God or done better had I had better circumstances, had I grown up in a better family, had I had a better school, had I had not been around such bad people, had I, whatever it is, whatever the scenario we blame on, but we don't like blaming the fact that we love sin. And so there's an element where God's going to give the earth a season of complete utopia, so to speak, a perfect environment. And at the end of it, there will still be people that will choose unrighteousness because they love the darkness and not the light.
So to be clear, you've got people in natural bodies.
Yes.
On the earth for 1,000 years, they really don't have, they have a sin nature. They got to get born again, but they don't have a tempter and demons.
Correct.
So they haven't had the pressure and the outside impulses and influences.
Right.
And so we have this sort of Garden of Eden experience where now we have the snake in the garden, so to speak.
Right.
And now they actually have to say yes in a different way to righteousness and no
right.
to the tempter.
Right.
And it almost gives them a chance
right.
to express love by choice.
Right. Exactly. Which is what God's always been after.
Wow.
It's what he wants. It's why he didn't create his robots. There's an element where he wanted voluntary love and tested love.
Mm.
And so people are going to be tested. Many of them will fall away again. Some will be deceived and follow.
And they'll follow Satan.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. In the same way that the angels fell.
That happens right at the after the 1,000 years.
Yes. And it says that it says he's going to be released for a short season. Doesn't tell us how long a short season is. We don't know if it's 10 years or 100 years. We don't know. Mm. We just know it's short compared to the 1,000 that happened before.
Mm.
And then he gathers one last army to go around Jerusalem to destroy the king.
Lucifer does. Lucifer,
yes.
Tries to march on Jerusalem.
Yes. And it says this time that there's not even the opportunity for the same type of battle. It says that fire comes down right out of heaven from the Father and destroys the enemy. Destroys all those who rebelled. And it says from that moment that Satan is then taken and he is cast into the lake of fire.
Mm.
The very next scene is that it says that all of a sudden then he sees the great white throne judgment take place. And it says that all of those that have ever died, specifically, for sure, outside of Christ, really from the time of the beginning of human history up until that time period, it says are then brought up from the grave.
Mm.
They're given also a resurrected body to stand before the judgment. And then from there, it says that their names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They were cast into the lake of fire. And where the devil and the false prophet are, and where Satan has been cast to.
Wow.
And then that's actually when the complete removal of all of the Lord's enemies and all of our enemies takes place. And then the full inheritance of the saints is given. Psalm 37 says, when the wicked are no more, then the righteous shall inherit the earth.
Wow.
So there's this removal of all things that offend. And then God's going to give the kingdom, and the kingdom is still on the earth. We're never leaving planet Earth.
And there's a heaven convergence to earth component.
Yes,
the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. That's a real place.
Yes, yeah, it's got dimensions and roads and everything. Yes,
yeah,
streets
of gold.
Right.
I mean, those are real trees. Yeah. There's organics. It's the Bible says it's coming out of heaven.
Right.
It's going to descend.
Right.
On the planet.
Right.
Wow.
And it's most likely, from what we understand, it seems to be landing in the very lands that were originally promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's that Nile to Euphrates River in the Middle East, and God's going to restore that. And then it says he's going to, again, restore the planet. There's going to be a restoration, what they call the new heavens and a new earth. It literally means a renewed heavens and new earth, not a brand new heaven and new earth. It's in the same way that Peter says that the post-flood earth was a new earth compared to the old one. God restored
it. It's a renovation.
It's a renovation of the earth. And God's going
fixer upper.
Yeah. And so all the people that have ever that did love God all throughout human history, and all the people in the millennium that eventually say yes to Christ, they're going to be given land inheritances on the earth.
Wow.
To actually be with the Lord in the same way that God originally intended us to tend the garden with him. In the cool of the day, the whole earth is going to do this for the ages to come. And I love how Ephesians and Isaiah says it. He says that no eye has seen, no ear has heard the things which the Lord has in store for those who love him. The glory and the things that we'll touch in the ages to come in relationship with the Lord and on a physical earth, you know, tending the global garden, so to speak, with the Lord. It's going to be glorious and majestic.
So you mean that passage isn't just about me getting a better job and a raise?
No.
It's about my eternal inheritance.
Yeah.
Living forever with the Lord.
Right.
In perfection and intimacy.
Yes. You may get a demotion and it may not make as much money. That may be how God gets you that place.
Because this age,
right,
however we live by the values of the kingdom, however we express humility, love,
yeah,
meekness, servanthood, all those things, fasting, prayer, however we give ourselves to the ways of the kingdom, that's actually what's rewarded.
Yeah.
And it determines our position,
yeah,
the glory. 1 Corinthians 15 says, as a star differs from star, so do we differ in the resurrection.
Right.
And so there's all these amazing components of continuity,
right,
from this age to the next age to the next age.
Right.
And just to get your mind around it, Ephesians 2, that great gospel chapter, it says this, that he's raised us up, seated us in heavenly places in Christ, so that in the ages to come, he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness to us in Christ. Ages to come, this concept is so native to the gospel.
Right.
And when you actually study the Old Testament promises that the gospel is built on, the idea of a land inheritance, a physical land inheritance for the nation of Israel,
right,
that's all in Christ's redemptive work in the gospel.
Right, Galatians says.
And so, beloved, this great story that we have of the kingdom of God, the unfolding of the kingdom, the end of the age to come, and the ages to come, this is what we're a part of. And when we don't have clarity on the story, we live so blind to everything that God has prepared for us. I just love that you brought that verse up. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's not entered the heart of man, right, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, but he's revealed them to us by the Spirit. And so
it's a down payment.
The Word, the Holy Spirit on the inside, the Spirit of revelation, it's all there for us. So as we lean into study with fasting and prayer, God unlocks the truth of the Scriptures to us, and we get to come into understanding of our identity, that he wants us to be a comparable bride, ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years, yes, but forever and beyond that. And so hope you get into these components of these chapters, understand these, you know, amazing dynamics of our inheritance, and that it really, really compels you to live radically and lavishly in love in this age, looking for and hastening the day of the Lord, which is this whole unpacking of the kingdom and Jesus' return and the age to come, and really living like you're a stranger and an alien on the earth, knowing that our inheritance is reserved for us in heaven. It's the ages to come and our relationship with him forever. So I hope this has been helpful for you. Lean in, fasting and prayer. Go for it. God bless you.